Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
Happy Father's Day! I was just listening to, again, one of my favorite songs, and keep praying in the Spirit. Wonderful to be sharing with you on this Father's Day, an event that most of us, half of us, or close to half of us in the population can experience personally, but I suspect 100% of us really understand that it's not just about having our earthly father, but it's also knowing that we have our Heavenly Father with us as well. And great to be with you here. Dave Kemp, pastor of Eternal Hope Anglican Church in Carleton Place near Eastern Ontario. And a blessing indeed to be here with you. You know, we had so much conversations about Father's Day. And for some of us, it's a meaningful, just in sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, my friends, knowing who God is, knowing that he sent his son to save us, we have been pardoned because of what Jesus did on the cross. So let me just share this clarity for all of us to understand this truth. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, desires not the death of a sinner, but that they may be turning from their wickedness and live. He's empowered all of us who are pastors to remind you and I the truth that to his people, being penitent, Jesus has created the absolution and remission of your sins. He pardons you and all who truly repent and sincerely believe in his son Jesus. God loves you. Accept the truth that you are indeed forgiven. Well, wonderful thought to be able to share that we have indeed been forgiven. Reality is that's what our Holy Father did. On Father's Day, it's a thing to remind ourselves that we have our earthly Father and we have our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father had you planned from the beginning. Remember we talked a couple of weeks ago, in the beginning, God? Well, in the beginning, God had you in mind for this century, this decade, and for this day. You're very, very, very close to him, very special to him. That's why he's installed the Holy Spirit in you, that little guiding light that makes us able to try to walk ourselves through the darkness, the powerful nudging that from time to time we need to be able to keep on the path. And as we know, there's two paths, one very wide and one very, very narrow. And he asks us to take the narrow way. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. Isn't that true? Well, I'm going to give us a reading. Reading from Matthew. If you've got your Bibles handy, Matthew 10. And I'm going to read from the NLV. And many of you have got the ESV and an NIV, and there's all of them. But they have about exactly the same message. And I'm going to put my glasses on. Here I go. So we start at verse 24, Matthew 10, 24. And I am going to skip some verses because it's just impossible for me to have a message on all of them, because any one of the chapters, or the verses rather, are so deep we could spend literally hours on them. And that's why we have Bible studies. And Bible studies are so much different than sermon time. But for you right now, if you would join me in reading together, Jesus said, "Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their masters. And since I, the master of a household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will also be called even worse names." Now let's just stop for a moment. He's calling you and I students. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's what you are. You read the Bible, you pray, you seek counsel, check out with others in your Bible study group and at church the reality of learning how we can follow Jesus better. So he says, if we're a student, we're not greater than the teacher. And who's our teacher? Of course, Jesus. So don't take any pride, the fact that you are studying, to think, okay, I can be equal to. No. You're created in the image of God, but you're not ever going to be equal to Jesus. But the point is, he's making that clear. And in his day, the culture of the day was slaves. And of course, they're not going to be greater than their master either. And then he comes to this interesting point where he says, look at folks, I am called the prince of the demons by others. I'm mocked by that. And if I am the leader and the master of the household, if I am truly the Son of God, in other words, if I'm here to be your Savior, even I, though I'm mocked, you, following me, will also be called worse names. Wow. Now he continues on verse 26, don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. Jesus said, what I whisper in your ear, shout from the rooftops for all to hear. Again, this word, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of those who threaten you. Obviously, he's speaking at a time when the Pharisees certainly did not take Jesus as a Son of God. In fact, they were scared of him. They mocked him and did everything they could to make him demonized in the eyes of all the Jewish people, the chosen people. And he says this wonderful line, what I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. Don't keep it to yourself. What I've got to share with you, share it with others. And what I whisper in your ear, what I whisper in your ear, shout from the rooftops. He's really teaching us that we have a job to do, don't we? And then he says in verse 28, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God. God, who can destroy both your soul and your body and place it in hell. So fear him. That means honor him, love him, respect him. Take his word that he whispers in your ear when you're trying to make a big decision. Listen. Follow it, is what Jesus is saying. Because if you don't, your alternatives are either eternal life or eternal damnation. Then we go down to verse 33. Everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Now that's a pretty strong statement. Jesus is speaking to the disciples of the day and to you and I at this very moment. If you deny me, if you ignore me, even don't allow others to know that you are a Christian, you're a closet Christian maybe, but you don't want to share your faith, I will also deny my Father in heaven. In other words, you are blessed being a Christian. Being a believer is a special status. That brings you into a relationship with God himself through Jesus, your Savior. Your sins are forgiven. You're worthy before God. But if you deny that you're a follower, well, watch out. If you aren't willing to share the truth, take a risk with your faith and share it to others, then you could be seriously in trouble. Well, we'll continue. And this is where it becomes very challenging for me as a pastor and for you as all of us, really, quite frankly. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace on earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set man against his father, daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, Jesus said, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Wow. I've never been a fan of these particular lines on Scripture, you know, but God gave us these lines. He taught us this for a reason through His Son Jesus. Don't imagine I came to bring peace. Well, this is what we call discord. The reality of the situation is pretty significant. So let's look at these scriptures, and we'll kind of hopefully wade through them in a way that is meaningful to you and makes sense to you on this very day we call Father's Day. You remember last week? Last week we talked about Jesus who came upon the crowds in chapter 9 of Matthew, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Well, the key scripture that we're speaking this morning on is this one. Jesus said, and this is for us, if you acknowledge me as your leader and master, if you are my student, get ready. Expect that you too will be mocked, threatened, just like me. Don't be afraid of the mockers. Don't be afraid of the mockers? Really? Well, this passage shares that there was discord without a question. Division, clearly. And we can expect that because it happened in Jesus' day. Jesus, the Son of God, born through Mary, she knew that he was a special child. She was conceived without a human being entered. Her husband, Joseph, had never had consummated the marriage yet till after Jesus was born. So she knew it was a miracle birth. She was significant. And yet, she and her sons, Jesus' half-brothers, came and they were trying to get him out of the synagogue, if you recall in the passage. Jesus was confronted constantly by the leaders of the synagogue. He was a Jew. They were Jews. They were the leaders of them. And Jesus was one of them teaching the very Torah that they found as to be the authority of God, and yet they wouldn't accept the truth from him. Was he challenged? You bet. Division and discord all through his ministry. It's an inescapable part of the life that you're onto. In this world, you and I know it's not going to be an easy path. Every headline, every news caption that we see today seems to blare this reality that there's going to be discord, there's going to be division. The federal government, for instance, just, I know, a pet peeve of mine, is the reality that they did indeed pass the marijuana law, making it possible for people to have a mind-altering drug legal. And while that may be the appropriate way and suggestion that there would be less crime trying to acquire it otherwise, they made it legal, but they did it legally knowing that if it was in possession of children 25 or under, it was going to absolutely detract from their ability to take good decisions. But they did it anyways. A growing brain below 25 can actually be altered irreparably as a result of taking marijuana. Now, the same law, the same government, just passed a parliament that prevents parents from even discussing with their son or daughter the potential of transgender operations. These operations will mutilate forever a gender-confused child. But despite the damaging evidence, there's division and discord with families facing this situation. the challenge is the operations that very, very liberal community is offering. It's almost like a tyranny of the godless pushing this behavior. Quite frankly, I find it very, very uncomfortable. It's tragic, actually, the consequences. Irreversible damage to the body of a young girl or a young boy at a time when they're gender confused, that's understandable. But parents are absolved of their role, told, do not do a thing. The community will make the decision for your child. And the consequences they won't live with, you will, as parents. We've got a lot of pain and division in our world, one point or another, and we know that. Challenging times that it is. We've got very much discord. When Jesus said, God will bless you, even when you are mocked, persecuted for sharing the gospel. And that was true. Every one of the apostles were killed. Jesus, the one who proclaims, love your neighbor. Jesus, who said, love your enemies. Pray for those who prosecute you and persecute you. This Jesus, who said, forgive others who have sinned against you. This Jesus, who taught us to walk the extra mile when you can help someone in need. This Jesus is teaching, and yet he was mocked and ultimately placed on a cross. If we could get more people just to read the scriptures and hear what I just shared with you from the scriptures, if we get more people proclaiming the truth of loving your neighbor, love your enemies even, pray for those who are persecuting you, forgiving others, not waiting to be forgiven, don't even ask them to forgive, just forgive them for the anger that you've got, and go the extra mile. What a wonderful world we would have, wouldn't it? We'd be free from turmoil. It wouldn't matter what race, what color, we would be finding ourselves treating others the way God expects us to treat everybody created in his image. We'd be experiencing shalom, the peace that passes all understanding. We'd experience love. But the tragedy is, in most communities, Jesus is more known as a swear word, not as the Son of God. It was true, even in Jesus' day. Here he would. He would heal the paralyzed man. He would drive out demons. He'd heal this 12-year-old, bring her back to life, a 12-year-old girl. And he was demeaned and ridiculed. Suggested that, in fact, he was Beelzebub. He was a demon, when in fact he was doing God's will. And only we know from the Torah, the scriptures that they were familiar with. Only God could have done these things. God himself was involved with the Holy Spirit guiding Jesus to be able to give him those abilities to heal. So again, Jesus says this to his disciples and to you and I this morning. If you acknowledge me as your leader and master, if you are my student, get ready. Expect to be mocked. Expect to be threatened. Just like me, Jesus said. So don't be afraid. Yes, my friends, as followers of Christ, we're not to be afraid of the mockers. Instead, we're called to commit ourselves to sharing Jesus' compassionate healing message day after day, week after week, with whomever we can. That doesn't mean you go on the road and drum. Doesn't stand on a corner with an A-frame saying, you know, repent, the end of the world is near. No. Your own special way of sharing the good news of Jesus that you've experienced and believe needs to go out to others. The saved reaching out for the unsaved. I love this quote that we have in the scriptures this morning. Jesus said this. He said, what I whisper in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. What I tell you in the dark, proclaim in the daylight. Don't be afraid. There are some haters. You know them. They're non-believers, and they will not welcome your message. We know that. Now, we know in Canada, unlikely that you will be killed for sharing the gospel, at least not yet. But we do know that those people who choose to share the good news, if you're in North Korea, if you're a Christian in China, Nepal, India, Saudi Arabia, Iran, if you share even in Calgary, Canada, the scriptures that Jesus declares that there's only a man or a woman, no other genders. And if you share that information with people who are thinking about confusion, you know, with transgender confusion, if you share the truth and help them come to their reality that God created them perfect, created them man or a woman, if you share that now in this Alberta, in this country of Canada, you could be in trouble. Of course, we know what's going on in the United States. It's incredible. So what do we do with this passage from Jesus' lips to our ears? What do we do? Well, one thing is, and we're tempted to, and we know that, you're tempted to ignore God's word. You're tempted to ignore situations where you could share the good news with people that need to hear it because you're fearing being mocked. Now, sometimes this is true right in your own family. There are some people that haven't come to a relationship with Jesus, and you'll be mocked for standing for the scriptures. There'll be some friends that will like you as long as you don't mention Jesus or any standards, you know, that he would represent. They will attack you if you are standing faithful against God-mocking abortion laws. Kill the kids. And if you don't like that, some others will say, well, you have not. Abortion is a right. The right to kill, granted anytime? When you call 911, wouldn't that be an empty answer then? Sure, you're being broken into your house and the guy's got a gun, he wants to kill you and rob you? Well, we don't care. It's almost the same, isn't it? Abortion laws in this country. We're going to be tempted to water down the gospel and Jesus' teaching about Christian marriage. Christian marriage can only be between a man and a woman. Well, that's discord, disunity in some situations, isn't it? The other one, I think, is sexual intimacy. Sexual intimacy is such a wonderful experience. And yet, the world, the media, the celebrities that you see on TV and the screens, almost everybody is saying, ignore sexual intimacy as a beautiful thing that God wants you to have between a man and a woman who are married. Just ignore that. And one night stand, go for it. Not a problem at all. Or commit adultery if you can. Just because you can. Don't honor intimacy as a gift from God. So we're wrapping up here now, and I just wanted to share with you the challenge of the scriptures. In Matthew, God sent his son Jesus to teach us and to bless us. That's why he came. He wants us to learn to live and teach what he taught. And especially he wants us to understand that he came into this world to save us sinners. That's including the people that don't agree with you about the believers. Principles. Well, in Romans 6:6, Paul said, we know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We no longer are slaves to sin. No longer slaves to sin. Set free from self-hatred for the things we've done. That's the absolute truth. Well, that leads us into this reality. And we're wrapping up with this point. You have walked your life. I have walked my life. And you have absolutely created a testimony.
If you're watching this morning at Eternal Hope, and you're believing in the truth that Jesus spoke through his son, or God spoke through his son, Jesus, you have a personal testimony. You have an experience, different from mine maybe, but you have the right and the opportunity to help people break the power of sin over their lives by sharing the gospel. Now, you'll be tempted. Oh, I can't do that. I'm too afraid. They'll mock me. And that's what Jesus' point is to you and I this morning. As you read these scriptures and hear the words speaking in your ear, whispering in your ear, share the good news. If we make that decision to share the good news and risk discord, admittedly, if you stand for love and justice, no matter what the cost to us personally, if you're going to be a truth teller, you're going to make a huge difference. You will make a big difference in people's lives. Take the risk. Don't be afraid. Pray and share with the Holy, that the Holy Spirit will move in the lives of those people you're sharing the good news with, the gospel. A challenge? Yes. Please accept it. We don't know the hour of the day when we'll be called into glory. Your friends and your children will not know the hour of the day. And today is the day. Today is the day that you want people that you love and hear from to know the truth. Don't keep it hidden in the dark. Bring it out into the light. Amen. Well, sometimes the scriptures are challenging, aren't they? I'm going to ask you to join me in the Lord's Prayer. Familiar prayer that Jesus taught the disciples and through the disciples to you and I. It's also in Matthew. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Finally, we'll go into some prayers and we'll be wrapping this up. O Lord, show us your mercy and grant us your salvation. O Lord, save our nations and guide us in the way of justice and truth. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. And make your chosen people joyful. O Lord, save your people and bless your inheritance. God, give us peace in our time. For only in you can we live in safety. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor be taken away. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca, and be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, and accompanying love.